بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. We read this somewhat lengthy hadith, which was regarded as the most noble hadith by the people of Sham. And the translation we have done, further explanation and commentary on that hadith is that the hadith, Hadith al-Qudsi, that is a hadith in which Allah Ta'ala is speaking, brings to the fore a number of key concepts of our iman. Very important matters, very, very important matters are discussed in this hadith. It reminds us that the kingdom and sovereignty of Allah Ta'ala is at the ultimate level of perfection. That we have this firm conviction that Allah alone is the full controller of everything. Like that we all will say we do accept it, but how many times we think we are in control and we behave in such a way as though everything is in our hands, whereas absolutely nothing is in our hands. Everything is in the hands of Allah Ta'ala. And it is absolutely essential to get these qualities of iman in a person's life. Our whole life of namaz, ibadah, without that conviction, thinking we are the creators of our actions and that we are in control of matters. Forget our homes, our businesses, our institutions. We are not even in control of our own self. The winking of an eye is not in our hand. The lifting of a finger is not in our hand. Everything is in the hand of Allah Ta'ala. It isn't a matter of just reading this hadith, but to get that conviction. And for that, a definite effort is required. Then that conviction comes in a person. Allah Ta'ala is in total control of every facet of existence. Whether it be a blade of grass, even a stone which looks dead and no life in it, it is also fully in the control of Allah Ta'ala. Rocks and stones which fall from mountains down, they don't fall on their own. They all fall by the command of Allah Ta'ala. No lightning flashes, no thunder. There is no thunder but with the permission and the command of Allah Ta'ala. Allah. Allah Ta'ala is in full control of every facet of existence. He is independent, supreme and flawless in every respect. Allah is completely independent. Allah doesn't need anyone, anything whatsoever. No Nabi, no Wali, no Farishta, no one. Allah is, He Himself, He is by Himself. He doesn't need anyone's ibadah. He doesn't need any help from any person. He is the most supreme and He is flawless. There is absolutely no deficiency in Allah Ta'ala. Allah is absolute. Our iman on Allah is very necessary that we correct it. We don't believe in Allah as we think Allah is, but we should believe in Allah as Allah is. And for that we have to learn the zat of Allah Ta'ala, what the qualities of Allah Ta'ala are, as some of them are explained in this hadith. The good deeds and sins of people do not benefit nor harm Allah Ta'ala in any way. Or the whole world, as is mentioned here in this hadith, can become obedient to Allah and continuously make Allah's ibadah. It doesn't increase Allah's greatness in any way. And the whole world can continuously disobey Allah. It doesn't bring down the position of Allah in any way whatsoever. Allah is not in need of anyone's ibadah, and no one's gunas and disobedience harms Allah Ta'ala. No matter how much the people break the laws of Allah, in fact, na'uzubillah, there are so many people who swear Allah, who are totally against Allah, but that does not harm Allah in the least, but Allah is absolute. All of you are astray, which comes in this hadith, that only those whom Allah gives hidayat, they have hidayat. That phrase does not contradict the hadith that states that every newborn baby is born on a natural disposition. It comes in the hadith that kullu mauludin yuladu al-fitra. Every child comes on the natural way of knowing Allah or being obedient to Allah Ta'ala. And yea, in this hadith it comes and it says that all of you are astray. And that hadith says that every child is born on hidayah. So it appears that there is a contradiction. The explanation of that is that because the letter, they say that all are born on hidayah, infers that every person has the potential and ability to be rightly guided. Every child that is born has the ability to be rightly guided. It comes with that natural disposition. Now it's up to the parents, the environment the child finds itself in. And then it becomes like that. Because the letter infers that every person has the potential and ability to be rightly guided. If Allah Ta'ala then chooses, He prepares such means that cause him to be rightly guided in practice. And if Allah Ta'ala does not choose one to be rightly guided, He allows his natural position to be changed towards other faiths such as Christianity, Judaism and Zoroastrianism. If Allah Ta'ala guides that person, and this we see clearly with all the refugees, the small children, that those whom Allah chooses to be guided, they will find themselves in a Muslim's home somewhere in the world. And that people will guide the child, and the child will be on Islam. And if unfortunately, and this is all by the will of Allah, if the child goes into a Christian's home, into a Jew's home, into a Hindu's home, then the child becomes like that. So it is all that everyone has the ability, but the environment he finds himself. Therefore, we can also understand from this that how very, very important environment is. People who have had a good environment, mahol, for years and years in a Darul Uloom, staying in the company of great, great mashayikh and buzurgs. But when they found another environment opposite to that, unfortunately even such people changed. The actual fact is they should have changed the other environment. But unfortunately they also get changed, which is so vivid in front of our eyes today. So it's all in the hands of Allah Ta'ala, and a person must see very, very carefully what environment he is in. And today, which everyone is exposed to a terrible environment, is the cell phone. On the smartphone, what sites a person can go onto, and all that has an effect on him. If he reads the editorials of the newspapers, the kuffar, the atheists, what they write, and there are so many people, that is the most important thing in their life. Then that is how their thinking becomes. And if a person reads Quran Sharif in the morning, and he has his full conviction on Quran Sharif, that is how his thinking becomes. But how many of us don't even read our Quran Sharif? But that editorial, or what the newspapers have to say, the media, what is today the headlines in the media, that is very important for us. So according to that, a person's mind also, and his heart becomes like that. The example of a needle being placed into the ocean is merely to explain the concept of Allah's greatness by means of an example which people may understand. Otherwise, there is absolutely no decrease in the treasures of Allah Ta'ala. In this hadith it comes that if all the people get together on one plane of ground and they ask all their needs to Allah, and Allah gives them all their needs. And in some hadith it comes, Allah gives them 10 and 100 times more also. It does not decrease the treasures of Allah, not even to the extent that if a needle is put into the ocean, the water of the 7 oceans, how much is it? And the needle comes out without any water. Only the needle is wet, that is all. And so much it does not even decrease the treasure of Allah, even so much. This is just for us, our minds, to understand and comprehend. This example is given. Otherwise, Allah can give everyone 1,000,000 times more than what he begs of Allah Ta'ala. And more than his imagination Allah gives him, it doesn't decrease the treasure of Allah Ta'ala in the least but whatsoever. Allah's treasures are unlimited. The reference to the vastness of the oceans emphasizes that man should never regard any of his needs as impossible for Allah Ta'ala to fulfill. We should always ask Allah Ta'ala. That is the work of a beggar. And we should know Allah and know the treasures of Allah. Never think I'm asking for too much. But Allah loves when a person asks him and he doesn't ask, Allah becomes angry. And the more you ask Allah, the more happy Allah becomes. So a person must always beg Allah for Allah's marifat, Allah's ibadat, for iman, the real treasure. The things of this dunya, unfortunately, we ask for. So much money, so big business, etc. That has got no value by Allah. Allah can give all, everyone, all that also. It doesn't decrease the treasures of Allah. But the real things to ask is iman, is nisbat with Allah, marifat of Allah Ta'ala. That is the, those are the things that we should ask. The treasures of Allah have not decreased since the creation of the heavens and the earth, and they will remain as they are until eternity. From the time of, even before Adam alayhi salam, all Allah's creation and Allah fulfilled everyone's needs. From Adam alayhi salam till today, if we think now in the world, 7-8 billion people, what are the needs of all of them? All the animals, the plants which are growing, trees, what and what Allah's creation. Allah is fulfilling everyone's needs properly. And Allah doesn't decrease the treasures of Allah Ta'ala in the least. But Allah, inshallah, we'll carry on from there. So we should have full trust in Allah Ta'ala and know Allah how great. And if a person gets that and he knows that he's got the support of Allah, he will not fear anyone or anything in the world. And he'll have courage to move forward. But if he hasn't got that iman on Allah, then the smallest things will make him frightened. He'll go in a depression. He'll give up. He'll just sit back and I'm finished now. No, a mu'min must know Allah and full trust in Allah and that connection with Allah, and then he's not afraid of anything in this world. May Allah guide us to righteousness. Subhanallah.